This episode of Takeaway is brought to you in part by California Food Service Instant Rebates. You could save up to $4,000 per unit on high-efficiency commercial food service equipment. In this time of need, the industry is building new restaurants and creating new concepts, and it needs equipment. You'll be able to choose from a variety of qualifying products and get valuable instant rebates as a discount on your invoice. No paperwork, no waiting. Find a participating dealer and qualifying products at caenergywise.com/instant rebates. That's caenergywise.com/instant-rebates. Hey there, welcome to Takeaway with Sam Okus, a podcast from Nation's Restaurant News. I am Sam Okus, editor-in-chief here at NRN, and this is the show where I give you an all-access pass to the restaurant industry's most influential decision makers. This week I'm talking with Steve Healy. He is the CEO of PokeWorks, the leading premium fast casual poke concept in the US with nearly 70 locations. Steve has had a pretty illustrious career in food service, serving as an executive with brands like Baja Fresh, Avant-Pan, Earl of Sandwich, and Veggie Grill, and he saw huge growth potential in this upstart poke concept. We talked about that potential, plus what it means to be a premium leader of a category, how to capture Gen Z's attention, and how COVID has changed expansion strategies for brands like PokeWorks. Before I jump into that conversation, though, remember that there are many other ways you can engage with NRN's award-winning content. Not only can you subscribe to our monthly print edition and daily AM newsletter at nrn.com/subscribe, but you can also subscribe to NRN's other podcast, Extra Serving, where our editors discuss the hot-button issues of the day, and we share interviews with a wide variety of restaurant personalities. On this week's episode, I talk with editors Leanne Zinsmeister, Holly Petrie, and Brett Thorne about CKE's rebranding plans, restaurant labor retention strategies, and the latest results from restaurant earnings season. Plus, Brett has a conversation with Felton Jones, the head roaster at PJ's Coffee. Also, we are just 1 week away from attending the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago. This is the biggest food service event every year and, of course, has not happened since 2019. So we're going to go big this year with our whole editorial team in attendance and plenty of fun stuff in the works. That includes conversations with restaurant leaders in our booth, which is booth 3831. And we would love for you to come say hello and share your story with us. Shoot me an email at sam.okus@informa.com if you're planning to be there, and come say hello at booth 3831. We hope to see you there. Jumping now into my interview with PokeWorks CEO Steve Healy. Also, don't forget to stick around after my interview as I will share my 4 takeaways from this discussion, actionable insights that you can take with you on the go. Steve Healy of PokeWorks, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me. Steve, I'm sure most people are familiar with this brand. This is the largest poke chain, I believe, in the US, if not the world. But tell us, give us a primer about what this chain is all about.
Yeah, PokeWorks, we're the leading premium fast casual poke brand. And you know, we sort of perfected this idea of poke your way, which is gives the guest the opportunity for ultimate customization. And at our core, we're a high quality food brand. In the poke world, I think the consumer wants to know that they have super high quality in the product.
And, right.
And so we're really focused on delivering that. But we have a great, great group of franchise operators. We do operate some company stores, but primarily we're a franchise company. And, you know, we've been fortunate and we really focused on partnering with great restaurant operators. And so, yeah, it's, and the company is relatively new. We started in 2015 at one store in New York. So as we've grown pretty rapidly, but we've also seen this growth in the consumer space on people that want to eat poke. They know poke now. And so, you know, our goal is to be the premium provider in the space.
How would you define premium? When you talk about being a premium provider, what does that really mean with poke?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's like in any restaurant category, you have, you know, different levels of quality providers and sort of, you know, different focuses. with us, it's really about this food experience, this, you know, this pristine, you know, premium, sustainable seafood, and just super fresh ingredients. I mean, and the great thing about poke is inherently it's better for you. It's healthier. And a lot of people nowadays are on diets that are, you know, everybody's on sort of their own custom diet. But with poke works, you can eat healthy. If you want to eat a little more indulgently, you can. But really our food is it's prepped fresh every day. The fish is cut, hand cut every day. There's a lot of fresh vegetables. We have our own really flavorful custom sauces. So I think the consumer has recognized that, you know, poke is a great alternative to other types of fast casual. It's different. But we really focus on delivering that super premium, high quality food experience that's ultimately customizable, served in, you know, a great environment for dining, but also we've really invested in our digital experience so that, you know, when you come into a Poke Works, you see all the food fresh in the right in front of you. So that's a lot of guests love that experience. They can see the product, it's fresh, they can customize it. But we've also looked to duplicate that as best we can in the digital experience. So if you go on our website to order, you see these photos of fresh quality product. But yeah, we really focus on delivering that super premium poke experience.
Got it. You know, I know that you're a veteran of the restaurant industry. And I know you've been with in the past Veggie Grill, Au Bon Pain, Baja Fresh. You've it's interesting to look at your resume because you've hit like every menu category, it feels like. And so you've been now with Poke Works for just over a year. I'm curious, what was the potential you saw in this brand? And just based on everything you've done in your career, what do you think you could bring to it?
Yeah, you know, I met the founders and became interested in the brand, but also interested in the poke space. And what I saw was that it's poke up until now. Originally, a lot of people thought it was a trend, right, or a menu item. They thought poke is like a flash in the pan, and a lot of people jumped in the space because what's great about developing and building a poke restaurant is you don't have the same capital investment you might have with other brands where you need to have hoods and cooking equipment and fryers and all this stuff. So the barrier to entry is fairly low. So a lot of people sort of jumped in the space, but the bigger picture was, and we did a lot of research, our concept appeals very strongly to millennials, but to Gen Z particularly. Mm. So these are young people that have grown up, they're foodies. They really are more adventurous in their eating, and they don't want to eat at their parents' fast casual concepts. You know, they really want flavor, and they really want to explore new cuisines. But what's happened fast forward to today is poke has now gone mainstream. It's clearly a category in fast casual. Consumers want to look at poke as an option for their rotation in the restaurants they use. And so, you know, when I looked at it, it was like the demand side over the next 5 years from the consumer side is going to double the amount of people that want to eat poke. And today, you know, there's a lot of poke concepts out there, but I think Poke Works has really done a fantastic job. And I give the founders so much credit on really, you know, really building this brand and this unique proposition with Poke Your Way and the quality standards. So what I saw was this opportunity to really do it well and scale it, and have a great, not just great food, but a great brand that people would recognize and trust and go, okay, when I think about Poke Works comes to mind. So there's a white space out there, I think, because there's still a lot of folks that want to eat poke and will want to eat poke. And, you know, when I looked at it, I looked at all the different poke brands. I think poke executes the best, has the best product. So, you know, I think there's this growth opportunity out there that is, you know, still the poke industry is still fairly nascent in terms of, you know, they're at, you know, we're the largest at 65, 70 stores, and, you know, the white space out there for this is pretty incredible. So I was very excited about it because, you know, usually when you look at categories in fast casual, whether it's, you know, burritos or burgers or, you know, pizza, you know, there's a bunch of big players sort of competing for the same consumer. And I think, you know, that the poke category is not that mature yet. So this was, I think, an opportunity to say, wow, we can be the leaders in this and really seize the market opportunity.
It's interesting. I mean, I feel like the culling of the poke category has already happened. You know, you saw, to your point, a bunch of folks jumped into the space and a bunch of folks didn't make it. Right. And we've seen that before. I mean, we saw that with fast casual pizza, and before that was Froyo, before that was Better Burgers. And so it was, in some ways, we could all see this coming. But you mentioned that ability to scale this business. I think maybe that sets you apart too, because a lot of folks who jump on with a so-called bandwagon, they don't always know what they're doing. They just see the appeal of it and they want to give it their go. So getting back to that element, the fact that this is a scalable concept and PokeWorks is franchising, tell me about the strategy for scaling. And how do you take something that is at one point just kind of a trend, lots of people are getting into it, and then take a brand and scale it and set it apart? What goes into that process? What is the strategy at PokeWorks?
Yeah, I think the basic strategy is partnering with great franchise operators who really are restaurateurs, understand the markets that they are operating in, and have that kind of experience. You know, I think a lot of companies make mistake in the franchise world of just going out and selling franchises without understanding who they're partnering with. You know, at the end of the day, you really got to be able to execute this well and have franchise partners who understand their marketplace and have operations experience. I think we've really differentiated ourselves from other poke concepts with not only our food, but our food platform with Poke Your Way. And we continue to innovate. I mean, we have a spirit of innovation that we're not just, you know, a static platform. We're always looking at what is a consumer, not only what are consumer trends, but what do the consumers want and expect from a fast casual restaurant, whether it's plant-based offerings, whether it's new and creative ways of looking at our product. And so we've leaned into that. I think also, you know, as everybody knows, being viable and being relevant to people in the digital space is so important, because, you know, that's how the consumers want to use your brand. So we really invested heavily and leaned into our whole digital infrastructure for ordering, for delivery. And we want to be there the way that the guest wants to use us. And, you know, we've to the credit of our founders and our partners, we've invested heavily in building a team that can allow us to scale. So, you know, we brought in expertise in supply chain, in development. You know, we brought on a great CMO, Jason Tipp. So it's creating all the supporting infrastructure that can allow you to scale. A lot of companies sort of, you know, kind of hold back and say, okay, well, as we grow, we'll scale. The challenge is with that construct is then it takes you much longer and you're not always prepared to seize the opportunities to grow and develop. So, you know, we've invested heavily in building a team that can support us to 100 stores, 200 stores, 300 stores. And so we're creating that support network, but also thinking about it from brand and marketing, we're already thinking like a much bigger brand and the things that we're choosing to lean into, so that, you know, we can kind of be ready to seize the opportunity as our store development ramps up.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned wanting to go after Gen Z. And as you talk about this digital innovation and going in that direction, I just think of course, Gen Z is, you know, really one of the first completely digital generations where they didn't know a world without these digital tools. But I also think of it as, how do you get their attention? Because now with Gen Z, I mean, they're getting a little bit of thing, you know, content over here, messaging over here. There's TikTok, there's Instagram. there's just so many voices in their world. Yeah. I'm just wondering, for your sake, how do you create a digital experience that can get their attention and bring them into a Pokeworks?
So true. I mean, Gen Z, not only are they digitally native, but you know, most Gen Z grew up, they're foodies. So these are kids that were eating sushi at 2 years old. And so they're adventurous eaters, and they're always looking for what's out there that can, you know, kind of fit how I think about my, I think there's sort of this idea, like, how does it fit in my life and my lifestyle? And yeah, it's challenging, but you have to meet them where they're, where they live. Right. And so they live on social, they live in this digital world. So being able to meet them there, whether that's having a great order site that is mobile optimized, so the minute you go on, you can just click and order easily. So the attention span is very short. So understanding how do we meet these consumers where we are aware of that, and we're removing all that friction, right? You know, it's the Amazon shopping, you know, Uber using consumer, right? They want a completely frictionless experience, and anything that sort of creates that friction is a problem for them, because you know they'll just move on. But from a marketing brand perspective, yeah, you have to meet them where they live, and you have to think about it like not only pushing product, but how does Pokeworks fit in with how they think they want to live their life? You know, the saying is living your best life. How can we, you know, meet them there and then help them to say, well, you know, Pokeworks can be a great fit for how you want to live your life, your life, your ideal life. But it's constantly changing, right? And so you just have to stay innovative in how you think about that.
I want to talk to you a little bit about real estate strategy. I want to get a little in the weeds on some of the growth pieces of this, because I do know that Poke really seemed to get its start in New York City, Los Angeles. It was kind of this sort of, I don't want to call it hip urban food, but I mean, it was like very much this, it started in the urban centers as a great lunch on your half hour lunch break. But I know that Pokeworks really has popped up in suburbs. I believe you have a drive-through or will have a drive-through. You guys seem to be really banking on getting this into, you mentioned all the white space in this country. There's places that have still never heard of Poke. Tell me about some of that real estate strategy. Has it been affected by COVID? What's the ideal location for a Pokeworks?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, what I've learned is that, and you're right, like a lot of other sort of trends in the restaurant business, they start in the big urban areas, whether it's LA, New York, or the way you generally think about it, starts on the coast and then sort of makes its way to the middle America.
Right.
What's interesting is you can go to pretty much any town and city in the US and find Poke of some kind. So it's really kind of spread out. And so I think there's this growing awareness of Poke as not a trend or not something super new, but people have now discovered it and they're interested in it and they want to eat it. So, you know, our real estate strategy really focuses on going in and finding these trade areas where there's a high concentration of that core consumer, you know, that millennial, that Gen Z, who have a little bit more disposable income because we're a premium product and are sort of those foodies, right? So like a lot of concepts, a lot of our developments focused on going in and penetrating, you know, big metro areas because there's a lot of targets there. But surprisingly, we've had great success in suburban as well as urban. You know, a lot of fast casual concepts used to just target the big urban areas first and then go out from there. But what we found is that there is this market for this product, even in, you know, second cities and, you know, more suburban. And it's changed a bit sort of post COVID. It used to be the urban locations did like these huge lunches where you would just get, you know, this mass of people coming in at lunch. Now that's shifted. More people are working from home, and people that normally would have, you know, commuted to an office, now they're like you and I working out of home, which a lot of times is in these upscale suburban areas. So that's where I think there's been a little bit of a flip, and that's where digital's come in, because instead of, you know, leaving my office building and going and having lunch at a Pokeworks, now I just go on DoorDash and order Pokeworks, you know, to come to my house, because I'm tethered to my desk at home. So, but yeah, no, our overall approach is, you know, let's go into these, you know, high value target areas and then go on and have over time significant market penetration. And, you know, we've already been able to do that in a few markets like Houston, where I think we're up to like 10 Pokeworks now. Dallas, we're working to get more market penetration. And then we're leaning into some other areas where we think there's a big opportunity, like Southern California, for example, is a huge market for Poke. And we only have four stores in Southern California today. So that's a big opportunity. We're you know, leaning into development in Southern California. But we're not going to exclude some of these secondary markets. And your question about the drive-through, we opened our first, we call it a cruise-through.
Okay.
It's not a traditional drive-in where you drive up and order, and then it's for picking up digital orders. So if I placed an online order, I can go to the cruise-through, pick up my bag, or the delivery drivers can go through. Our franchisee, Sean Comerford, opened it in Knoxville, and he's very pleased and very happy with it. It's been super successful, super convenient. I mean, guests love it because they don't have to get out of their car.
Right.
They just drive up, pick up their order, and then obviously it facilitates the delivery drivers, because with them it's all about speed on dispatch. So it's right. An option we have. If we think we have the right site and you know, it makes sense to look at the cruise through. And we have sort of different size boxes for, you know, different types of real estate, you know, anywhere from 1,000 square feet to 2,000 square feet. But yeah, it's COVID has transformed a lot of how people think about using restaurants and sort of this, we're not as, you know, we've always done a good amount of dinner business. So we're not as dependent solely on lunch business like a lot of other fast casual concepts. So that's been really beneficial for us as you know, I mean, like a lot of concepts during COVID, we had to close down dining rooms and that, but people toggled to digital pretty quickly. So you know, that was great. And we were sort of prepared for that. But right. Yeah, it's changed a bit in terms of how we think about real estate. You know, we're not as eager to go into like super dense downtowns like we would have, you know, pre-COVID. It's sort of opened the aperture on sort of where we look at sites.
Which I think has been a real benefit for a lot of brands that have done that. I want to talk about menu development, because I know this kind of also is where Pokeworks kind of hangs its hat on having really exciting, fresh Poke dishes. And I want to tie that a little bit into supply chain, because I'm just curious where all this kind of fits together. But starting at talking about, you know, R&D and menu development, I mean, Poke is a dish that, again, is really not, it's still pretty new to a lot of Americans. And I mean, speaking for myself, I'm not the smartest person when it comes to knowing the differences between fish. I couldn't eat a bite of fish and tell you exactly what kind of fish that was. So I'm just curious, for your sake, for Pokeworks, how do you go about developing exciting menu items and keeping things interesting and fresh for guests to keep coming back in? And then what are the supply chain challenges that are hurdles for you, if any, right now?
Sure. Let me take the second part of the question first.
Sure.
Like most restaurant companies, we're having our challenges on supply chain. One of the big challenges for us is a lot of our product comes from overseas. So for example, most of salmon, the fresh salmon we use, comes from Chile and South America, or Nova Scotia, sort of areas outside of the U.S. That most of that's air freighted in, so it's not a long time. But you know, all the costs associated with that whole supply chain have escalated, and you know, other things like tuna, you know, we use a lot of ahi tuna that comes out of Southeast Asia. And so anything that's coming from out of the country, you have longer lead times, and now it's more expensive, and you know, commodities in general have gone up. So we've seen the same escalation in prices on commodities that other concepts have. So, you know, we've had to get creative around, you know, just ensuring that we're, you know, we don't compromise our quality standards, but, you know, just being aware of, are there opportunities? And we've taken some price, and we'll continue to look at price. We've had to. I think what's been key for us is, you know, just continuing to deliver on the quality. I think the consumer has been somewhat understanding about passing on price, and they know because they see it at the grocery store, they see it at the gas pump. And I think, you know, they're in general, the consumer understands, you know, when you have to take some price, because, you know, they, as long as you deliver the quality in the bowl, right?
Yeah.
But on menu innovation, yeah, we're always looking at, you know, kind of where consumer trends, what's important to our consumers, and how do they want to think about, we think of poke as sort of a platform, because there's really this creative part for consumers to build the bowl the way they want. So one example is a clear trend is sort of these curated diets where everybody's sort of eating low carb, high protein, you know, whether it's keto or paleo or that kind of thing. So a while back, for example, we developed a cauliflower rice. So if you're eating low carb and you don't want to eat a bowl of rice, then you can get cauliflower rice and that sort of fits your need and you can customize the bowl that way. You know, we're now looking at, are there some other seafood options that people would want to eat? We sell a lot of tuna and salmon. That's a traditional poke bowls made with that. But are there other seafoods that, you know, people want to engage on? So, for example, we have a product called surimi. It's sort of a crab dish that's super delicious. And so we're working on an LTO right now using surimi. It's like a spicy, crunchy surimi bowl, which is super craveable. And, you know, surimi is a lot more affordable than sort of fresh seafoods. So, you know, we're always looking at, you know, what are some options that we can sort of expand people's horizons on how they think about poke. We're also looking at things like plant-based. So right now we're running a regional test in a certain number of stores with a company called Omni. They've developed their plant-based version of Spam. So we sell a super craveable menu item called Spam Musubi. It's kind of a traditional Hawaiian thing. If you go to Hawaii, you find Spam Musubi.
Okay.
So like myself, I'm a pretty healthy eater. I normally would not eat Spam.
Yeah, right.
But this Omni product tastes like Spam, looks like Spam, cooks like Spam, but it's plant-based and it's delicious. So we rolled it out on a limited basis and got a great response. So, you know, that's where kind of consumer trend and need meets how you look at product development. So we're always kind of looking at, you know, how do people think about this? And, you know, consumers today, our consumer especially, because, you know, we have a pretty sophisticated consumer, they're very mindful about how they eat. So, you know, part of innovation is being aware of that, you know, how do we meet these needs within this sort of customizable model? It's a lot of fun. It's interesting. We have a great director of culinary who is always, you know, in the R&D lab working on things. And then we test a lot of items. You know, we're always testing things in our R&D store just to see how the consumer responds.
Real quick for you, Steve, last question. Just tell us something that you're excited about for PokeWorks. What should we expect here in the coming months and years?
Yeah, I'm really excited about being able to bring this brand and really expand it in a lot of markets. You know, wherever we go, it's pretty quick for people to go, wow, okay, you know, there is a difference. And it's very exciting to see us, you know, really start to ramp up our growth where we can offer this great product in a lot more markets. We've had a lot of interest in international expansion. Poke's gone global. And now you can pretty much find poke around the globe. And we just opened our first store in Asia in Taiwan a couple months ago. We just signed a deal with a great operator and developer in Canada to open 50 stores in Canada. So it's very exciting to see this growth in poke around the globe. And, you know, we get a lot of inbound interest on that. We're now getting interest on, you know, would you be interested in going into airports, colleges, universities? So it's really exciting to see, you know, the growth of the, not only the poke space, but the opportunities that we have to really bring this great product to a lot more people.
Yeah, it's exciting to watch, and good luck to you, Steve. Steve Healy, CEO of PokeWorks. Thanks for taking some time.
Appreciate it.
This episode of Takeaway is brought to you in part by California Food Service Instant Rebates. You could save up to $4,000 per unit on high-efficiency commercial food service equipment. In this time of need, the industry is building new restaurants and creating new concepts, and it needs equipment. You'll be able to choose from a variety of qualifying products and get valuable instant rebates as a discount on your invoice. No paperwork, no waiting. Find a participating dealer and qualifying products at caenergywise.com/instant rebates. That's caenergywise.com/instant-rebates. That was my interview with PokeWorks CEO Steve Healy. So what should you learn from this interview? Here are my four takeaways. My first takeaway is that younger generations do not want their parents fast casual. PokeWorks is very, very much orienting itself around this foodie younger consumer. Thinking about Gen Z and folks who are, you know, in their 20s or younger, they've grown up with celebrity chefs, Food Network, foodieism at its core really is all around them. They've been adventurous eaters since they were young. This kind of started with millennials, but when you think about Gen Z, their entire lives have been spent in a digital world with much higher quality food expectations. PokeWorks is betting that that generation is going to want something beyond what their parents, who may be Gen X or baby boomers, or who knows, maybe millennials, they want something a little bit different than what their parents ate and than what their parents certainly grew up on. And Steve spoke a lot about being the premium player in the poke category. And this is what it's all about. It's about being that premium player that is leaning into quality, flavor, and culinary adventure. So really upping the game as it relates to the last generation of fast casual concepts. They want to create another level that especially younger consumers are going to be interested in spending their dollars. Speaking of which, my second takeaway is that you should meet Gen Z where they live and engage with them there. I do not mean this where they actually literally live, but where they are spending their time. And they're spending their time in a digital world. So when you look at TikTok, you look at Instagram, look at all of these digital tools, these apps, these platforms, hey, the metaverse, this is coming up now too, right? Brands have got to engage with customers there because that's where their eyeballs are the vast majority of the day anymore. It's hard to get people's attention when they're so scatterbrained, their attention is all these different apps. But it can be done. Restaurants can get their attention by committing their time to those worlds and creating brand experiences and touch points in those worlds so that when these members of Gen Z see them and experience them, they want to go and have that experience at their restaurant. My third takeaway is that younger customers expect a frictionless experience, and if you do not provide it, they're going to move on. There are so many options today in the restaurant industry that Gen Z, younger customers, millennials, really all customers, I mean, they have so many options at their fingertips, and they have so many restaurants that are ready to provide that frictionless experience. You know, Steve talked about how the Amazons and the Ubers of the world have set this bar so high that the customer expectation is for complete convenience and zero friction. The job of the restaurant now is to strip all of that friction out so that there's nothing getting in the way of the customer and the restaurant, that they just have to push a button and that their food will be delivered right to them where they are and when they want it. How are you stripping friction out of your experience? Because if you're not doing that, if you still have some of these layers of friction between you and the guest, they have a lot of other options available to them where they can get that frictionless experience. My fourth and final takeaway is that your franchise partners must understand their marketplace. Steve, as I mentioned, has had this really impressive career in food service, and he saw incredible potential in Poke Works, specifically in its scalability. And in order to scale a restaurant, of course, franchising is a popular option to do that. But if you choose franchising, you cannot just partner with somebody who's going to write you a check. You have to partner with franchisees who are knowledgeable of their market and who are passionate for the brand and the product. If you are considering franchising your brand, or if you already have or in the early stages of doing it, remember that there are going to be a lot of people who are willing to write you that check and who want to become a franchisee. But if they don't know their marketplace, if they're not passionate about your product, you might lose out on all that potential of your brand and the scalability of your brand. Those are all my takeaways for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to subscribe to Takeaway wherever you listen to podcasts and to leave your feedback. You can also email me at sam.okus@informa.com. Thanks again, and talk to you next week.